Anyway, welcome to today's 20th day of the Omer Tovshin Pei, Yom HaAtzmaut, the 72nd. It's about time we get moving on this Yom HaAtzmaut deal, huh? And make something out of it. Okay, so today we start on Daf Nun Dalet, Bezrat Hashem, and we got up to the top line. Rechalim Yotzot Kvulot. So we're continuing on what type of things you can put onto an animal, take them out into Rishus HaRabim. And we had a number of words in the Mishnah that were not very clear. We started explaining them yesterday. Today, we're talking about the word kavul. What does that mean? My kvulot, shimechablim al yashalem lamata kadesh lo yalu aleihem hazecharim. Yesterday, we spoke about the advantage of lifting up the alyas so it's easier for them to be mounted. Here we're talking about the tails are tied down so that they can't be mounted in cases where you don't want to ruin the milk supply and so on. Why would we call that kavul? My mashmadai kavul lishadalo avit pirehu. What makes you say that the word kavul should be specifically matim to preventing reproduction? So it stops production. That comes from the amazing pasuk in which after Shlomo had granted these cities to Hiram, who had helped him build the Beit HaMikdash, he went out, Hiram, to inspect the cities, and he was not very happy. And he said, he writes to Shlomo, what is this? These are cities. So why did he call it the land of Kavul? Amar Avuna, because the residents were so incredibly rich that they were enwrapped in silver and gold. Says Rava, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. From the context, it's mashma that kavul is something bad. I mean, because of this, he didn't like it. Why didn't he like it? These were fabulously rich cities. You're telling me, because it was so rich, he didn't like it? Says the Gemara, yes, exactly. Who wants a bunch of entitlement riches who are going to go around demonstrating with their black flags around the palace, demanding all types of new entitlements? You crazy? I need people that are real people, could do a little bit of productive work in life. So that means that these people are kvulot. So because of that, we use the Lashon of kavul for non-productive. Amazing, right? This is exactly the pshat. Because given that Tirim Befanke, these guys are so spoiled, Loav de Avidanta, they never produce. So because of that, we call it Eretz Kavul. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omer? No, it means it was like a really bad area. It was all chumton. It was all salted land that wouldn't produce. That's the point. It was sandy. Amai Korile Kavul. Because Mishtargaba Kara at Kabla, you would sink into it. It was like quicksand, and you would sink into it all the way to your ankle. And people use that as an expression. Ara Mechabla Delo Avat Piri. So it's like the kind of ankle land that you sink into that you're never going to get anything out of it to produce. And the next case we had was that the females could go out Kivunot. By the way, there's a very interesting language issue over here, because kvulot that we had over here, as Rashi explains, we're going to see later on more about that, is that actually this became the modern word for cables, because something that is all wrapped up together as one and is covered with an insulator is a kabal, which interestingly enough is cable in English as well. Anyway, getting to kvunot. So what are kvunot? Kvunot means coated. It's called coating sheep. Now, this is a very complex thing that is done only for the finest wool. It's extremely difficult to raise sheep like this. And, it's incredible how complex the sheep raising is when you deal with this. I went online, and it's like mind-boggling. Page after page after page of data of what needs to be done and how it affects the wool and what temperature you have to keep the sheep at and whether it causes additional problems because the wool becomes so fine that then the sheep aren't properly warm and all the things they have to do to keep them warm and so on, which is very useful to understanding the Gemara, because the Gemara again, as I mentioned to you yesterday, the makor of our relationship to animal in the Gemara is deeply related to Shabbos because of the Laman Yanuchu. And because of Laman Yanuchu, the question of whether you could do things to give Onik Shabbos, so to speak, that we talked about giving Onik Shabbos to an animal, that there's an inyan of oneg. And now the Gemara is going to question, how far could this go? I mean, would you treat an animal better than you treat your wife? So these are the issues that we're going to raise over here. So when you say kvunot, it means that you want to make very, very fine wool. So what you do is you fasten a coat all around it, and that's called mechabnim, Big Rashi says, because it has clips on it. So that's called mechabnim. And you clip this which are fasteners. So you clip the coat around it, as it says in the Mishnah, that we're talking about the color of a se'et, last week's parsha. That se'et and tzaras is the color of tzemer lavan. So the Mishnah explains what is tzemer lavan that is listed in the colors. Omer of baby barabaye, this was explained, he explains the Mishnah, it's talking about tzemer naki ben yomo, shemechabnimoto lemelat. Brand new, of a one-day-old wool, which is then covered over with a coat and is never exposed to the elements or to dirt. And when it finally grows out fully, it is beautifully white. That's the color of the se'et. Then we said the izim can go out tzrurot. Remember, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says tzrurot, no matter what that's for, whether it's to catch dripping milk or whether it's tied tight in order to stop lactation. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to do any type of tzrurot. It doesn't matter whether it's for milk or whether it's to stop the milk. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can do it, but only if it's liabesh, because that's tight. But if you do it loosely, you can't do it to catch the milk, because over there you may end up carrying it arbamas brishos harabim, which was the main issue about these new things that we started discussing yesterday. Itmar. So we have machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav paskas like Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel paskas like Rabbi Yossi, that it's usur under any circumstances. Now, there was another way that was actually brought up between Rav and Shmuel, that it wasn't referring to the Mishnah. And Tosfos says the reason of this other lashon, which wasn't for the in terms of the Mishnah, was because apparently there were other girsaot going around, in which the shitas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachomim were reversed, and therefore they were careful. They didn't want to say it over, like we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, we paskin Rabbi Yehuda, but so on. So Memela, it was just discussed in terms of the actual din. So Rav said liyabesh mutar, but not for chalav. And Shmuel says either case is usur, which boils down to the same thing. And others actually have the discussion the way we have it, I have the Shmuel part of the discussion. Tosis brings another gears that has Rav in here also. But in our gears, it's only referring to Shmuel, and that Shmuel said it on a different braita, where it says over there that Izim are allowed to go out to dry up the milk, but they're not allowed to go out for collecting the milk. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira said that that's how we paskin theoretically. But, I mean, who's going to know, you know? Me mefis. You're telling me you can know ezerli abeshva, ezerli chala. What are you going to do? You're going to toss a coin to be mefis to figure it out? There's no way to know. And since there is no way to know, we have to be makbid not to do it at all. But that means that Meikar Adini does not agree that it would be a problem. He's only saying it's a problem because of the Gezerah, people may make a mistake. Now, Tosis points out that means that if it's in an area where they'd never do it for collecting milk, so then there would be no problem, according to Mashenken, and according to the Lashon we had before, that you paskin like Rabbi Yossi, it's Meikar Hadin, Osir. There's a big difference between the two, that here Shmuel says, or some say Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Halakha Rabbi Yudam Ben Beteira, which is not precisely, even though it boils down to the same thing in most cases, it's not precisely the same as paskining like Rabbi Yossi. The truth is, when Ravin came, he said that Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree with either of them. And he did not like Rav and not like Shmuel, and he paskin like the Tanakhama, who allows it under any and all circumstances to be done, and it doesn't matter. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And now we are ready for our beloved Capitan. Okay, what do you want, a drink?
Please drink.
Here you are.
A cabal is a group of people that bound together and
yes.
they have a secret instruction.
Yes, yes, yes. Same Russian. Very good. Cabal. Right. Cabal, cable, cabal. Very good. Shaker. Well worth the wait. So now we get to the end of the Mishnah that we referenced earlier. So the first part of the Perek begins with what the behemoth can go out with. And now we have the mirror image Mishnah, which allowed us to make all kinds of nice diyukim. And what can an animal not go out with? Well, a gamal cannot go out with a mitutelet. Mitutelet, according to Rashi's preferred pshat, is that it's a soft kind of cushion that is put between the supporting straps to the camel's carrying apparatus. Those straps go under its tail. And because of that, when it's going downhill, the straps eat into the tail and sometimes cause sores on the tail. So we put in this small cushion to make sure that the tail wasn't damaged. So it cannot go out with a mitutelet because that can fall off and you'll carry it with Rishus. It also cannot go out if it's akud or ragul, because obviously anything that actually hobbles the camel is not going to be considered to be a proper way to dress, at least not if you're a camel. And because of that, it would not be included in the beged of the camel. We'll talk about exactly how this is done in the Gemara. The truth is that that's true of any animal. It can't go out by hobbling it, which requires you to tie parts of it up. Do not make a long row of camels in which one camel, it follows the other camel, and there's rope that goes from one to the other. But, and we'll see why, which actually has to do with looking like you're marketing it. And you can, however, take a bunch of camels and carry the strings to lead five camels together, as long as they're not one after the other. You could do that. But you have to be careful not to wrap that rope around your hand for some weird reason. So that the Gemara is going to try to figure out why would that be. So in the Braita, it explains like this. A camel can't go out with this mitutelet. Again, according to Rashi, it's that little cushion to prevent lacerations. But that's only if it's attached to the tail. But if the mitutelet is connected all the way around the hump and the tail, then it can't fall off. Oh, my Rabbi Baravun, another thing is if you have the mitutelet, which is attached to a little bit of placenta that is still in the camel, it's hanging loose, it's not going to in any way allow that to be pulled loose because it's too painful. Okay, let's define what is akud and what is ragu. So Amar Rav Yehuda, akud means tying a hand to a foot, a front leg to a rear leg. And that was what happened with Yitzchak ben Avraham, who was called akud, akedat Yitzchak. So the akedat Yitzchak, as the Medrash explains, was tying his hands to his feet, which would cause his neck to be extended outwards and would make sure that he wouldn't accidentally move to ruin the Shechita. And that was Rogul would mean that you're not allowed to be Yakuf Yado Agabezro Oviikshar. That's actually called hobbling. I mean, obviously both of them hobble, but this is called hobbling. You take the lower part of the leg, you bend it upwards, you tie it to the upper part of the leg, and then it's only got three legs, and it's not going to be able to run very far or fast to get away from you. So you can't do that on Shabbos because tying that around the leg is not a beged, it's a masri. So now the question over here would be, also all of these cases, by the way, would also be, even if for some reason it was bought, we would be worried about carrying in Rishus HaRabim anyway. What is Rav Yehuda claiming? That the word akud has to be like Yitzchak ben Avram. The Braita doesn't seem to say that. The Braita says akud would be tying two forelegs together or tying two rear legs together. And ragul means what you said. Shelo yakuf yado agab yisro v'yikshar. So you see that the Braita is not like Rav Yehuda. True. But there's another price that is like Rav Yehuda. And who the Omaka Haitana? Because there's a Braita that says akud would be tying a front leg with a rear leg, or tying the two leg, front legs together, or the two rear legs together. And ragul is not to bend up the lower leg and tie it to the upper leg. Wait a minute. That's not the same as Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said only the case of Akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. And that means tying a front and rear leg, not two front legs together, not two rear legs together, which is what it's claiming in this Braita. So Akati lo domi, it's not the same. Because, I mean, yes, the first line is the same and the last line is the same, but the middle line's not the same because it says Mitzias is Kasha. It says it also would include a case of tying the two front legs together, the two rear legs together. Okay, sorry, I made a mistake, but there is a Braita that does say exactly what Rav Yehuda said, and that's this Tana. Akud means Akedas Yad Veregok Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Ragul Ishalo Yachuf Yado Agav Yisrael V'Yikshar, and that's word for word what he said. Okay, you can't tie camels in a row. Why can't you count camels on a row? Ravashi, because that's the classic movie picture of camels, right? I mean, a guy who's taking camel, and he's going to be going to the marketplace. So that's how he's going to be carrying them. He's not handling each camel. He's bringing these camels in. So it looks like he's going to market these things at the fair. Now, interestingly enough, it's a beautiful idea. The word chinga actually means a dance, which is a weird way of talking about going to sell your camels at an auction. So Rashi explains not at all. If you take a drone-level picture of people in a supermarket, what are they doing? They're dancing, going through aisle number C, getting to aisle number 4, then going back again to aisle number D, and they're going around and around like a bunch of crazy dancers. So because of that, we call the market a chinga. Come on, guys, that's cute. It's like talking to a wall around here. Even Naftali's giving me a coffee today. Yeah, face finished. Okay, that's what happens when you miss 2 days in a row, Naftali. Takes time, 3 days. I didn't even want to say it. Okay. And that's a problem, but you can put all the ropes of these separate camels into your hand as long as you don't tie it around your hand. What's wrong with that? Omer Vashi, no, the last part of the Mishnah is not talking about the problem of Shabbos. The last part of the Mishnah is talking about the problem of Kilayim. So it means if one of these camels has got a linen rope holding it, and one of these camels has got a woolen rope handle holding it, that's what it's going to mean. Right now we think it means kilayim. Maybe that means it's two species. Two species? Yeah. Well, you're a human, and a camel's a camel. That's two species. And therefore, if you're all wrapped together, then that's kilayim, right? No, come on. Kilayim of what? Kilayim to Adam with a behemah? It says beferish in the Mishnah that Adam mutar im kulam, a man, a human, is allowed to be tied together with a camel or a cow to a plow to pull it together. Vachrosh velim shok. So that's not a problem of kilayim, of the fact that it's tied around your arm. What it means is that the different ropes are made out of different materials. That must be what it is. So we're not talking about the problem of Shabbos. Don't wrap different materials around your hand. Why not? Kilayim dechavol im vatanya. It says that a tokef tkifa achat eno chibur. If you make a loose knot, right, just one time going through, you put a pin through it or something, that's not called a chibur to be called kilayim. So what would be wrong if I've got different disconnected ropes because I twist them around my hand? That's going to be called kilayim? No, you don't understand. Well, obviously, we don't mean that. We are talking about kilayim of the ropes. But, our problem is that you might actually tie these different ropes together with a real double knot to make sure everything remains stuck together. And that would end up meaning that when you're holding these ropes, if they're mechamim, your arm or your hand, then you would be wearing kilayim in that part. So be careful not to do that. So the Mishnah is throwing in something that, in fact, is not related to Shabbos. Omer Shmuel, there's another actual condition here, and that is bevach lo yetze chevel mitachat yado tefach. It's got to be that the end of the rope doesn't hang out more, a tefach or more, from your hand, because then it looks like you're carrying the rope separately. And that obviously you can't do on Shabbos. Wait a minute. But Shmuel's Beis HaMedrash dealt with this issue and said, Shnei Tvachim, right? So how could that be? Rabbi, look, if Shmuel says a tefach, and in the Beis HaMedrash they're reporting that Shmuel held two tefach, obviously Shmuel was coming to say, listen, halacha l'maisa, don't tell people two tefachs, because if you tell them two tefachs, then it's going to end up being three tefachs. If you tell them one tefach, then it'll be 1.5 tefachs, and that'll be mutter, because that's still within the two tefachs. So paskin, that it's really only one tefach. Okay, let's be practical. When La's away for a couple of days, he doesn't smile. And it takes a couple of days to get that smile back. But we'll try our best. There we go. There's nothing like a smiling La. What can I tell you? Everybody's face changes with a smile, but La's face goes like 180 degrees. So please keep giving us that special smile. Okay. Anyway, so this would be now the halacha, but there's an additional, one additional condition. We have Tanya, and it seems to be a contradiction, because the Braita says the ubilvad, the condition is that it can't be closer to the ground than a tefach. So that would mean that we don't really seem to care how much of it sticks out of your hand on the other side. We just care how much of it is not hitting the ground. No, no, that's not referring to what's sticking out of your hand. That's referring to what's between your hand and the animal. So referring to two different areas. In other words, if you're carrying a lot of rope and some of the rope is coming out of your hand, it will not be evident that that's part of the rope of the animal. It's the way you're being shamed of the animal. And that it's actually being carried by the animal. So that's okay. If, on the other hand, on the other side, between your hand and the animal, the rope slopes all the way down to within a tefach of the ground, then it is also no longer evident that the rope is the rope that's leading the animal, because people don't look to see that it's going all the way back up again. So because of that, we have two conditions for this to be lahalocha. And now it's once again time for our overworked kapitan, who under the circumstances probably doesn't mind a little extra work. So go for it. Thank you. Ein chamor yotzei b'mardat bizman she'ein akshura lo. So you can't take a donkey out if it isn't tied. This, remember, we were medayik, that it has to be tied for Erev Shabbos. And you can't go out with a bell, even though that bell has been stuffed up with cotton or something to make sure that it doesn't ring. It can't go out wearing a ladder around its neck. We'll see what that means. It doesn't mean literally a ladder, but we'll see what it's referring to. It cannot go out wearing straps on its legs. Again, all this will be explained to the Gemara. A chicken can't go out with these various colored threads. And it can't go out with a strap on its legs. And the male rams are not allowed to go out with those little wagons underneath their fat tails. Some of these tails develop so heavy, they're so fat, and they're so delicate that they end up being heavy enough to drag on the ground. And therefore they get all types of cuts and bruises. So in order to prevent that from happening, they would make this little wheel, you know, make a tiny little wagon. And so that he would be going out with a wagon, but you're not allowed to go out with that, because if it detaches, you're going to carry it out by Ms. Rishas Arabi. The Einar Echelim Yetzot Chanunot, and we don't know what that means. We're going to talk about what Chanunot is. An Egel cannot go out wearing a gimon. We'll talk about that. A Pora cannot go out wearing a hedgehog skin over its udders to prevent a animal from taking its milk. And it cannot go out. This is what we talked about earlier, was the big machlokas. Is this talking about for shmira, or is this talking about decorative? And we have some complaints about Paratash, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow used to go out with its horn, a strap between the horns. Horrible, horrible. And he did this against the Chachamim, none of which makes too much sense, and we'll talk about the story in the Gemara. Want my time out? Why can't you go out if it wasn't tied before Shabbos? And like we said before, remember Rashi's shot was that if it wasn't there before Shabbos, it does not appear to be really necessary for it, because why wasn't it there before? Lo bizog avabishu pakuk, you can't wear a bell, even if it's not making noise, again, because it looks like you're heading to the dance. What exactly is a ladder? Amar Avuna, it's a belua. It looks like a ladder in the sense that it has these rungs. You attach the rung, one rung on either side of the head, and then it sticks out. And what is that good for? It's good for a case where the animal's got a sore that it wants to scratch against either a wall or bite with its teeth. So if you've got this thing sticking out, it can't do that. And if it does that, it's going to end up lacerating it. It's going to end up causing infection. So the owner wants to prevent that from happening. Boy, this must be awfully frustrating to the poor itching animal. But anyway, you can't do that. The satellite dish for the dogs. Actually, it's the same thing, I think. Yeah. So it's a belua. And why do you do it? For a case where an animal has a maka, the lohada chayichbe, we don't want it to be scratching the maka. It cannot wear a strap. What kind of strap? Well, this is talking about where an animal is very knock-kneed, and it's not really knock-kneed. What happens over here is that it doesn't have a broad enough foot spread, and therefore it very often hits the bottom of one foot with its hoof from an adjacent foot, and it's bleeding and hurtful. And because of that, you put a strap around that area to make it impossible for the foot to hit the other foot. So it's protective. The Tarnagolim can't go out with these colored strings. That is done as a simet. So, you know, all my Tarnagolim have, let's say, red, and all my neighbors' Tarnagolim have green strings and so on. And that way, when they go and they all jump out of the particular yards that they're in, we can easily recover our own Tarnagolim. Ki echadol lichlefo. And you cannot put a strap along a chicken leg. Why do you do that? You do that to prevent it from having a broad stance in order that it shouldn't be able to jump around. As you know, for Baba Kama, tsrorot are very common for chickens, and they're constantly scattering stones and they hit things. And because of that, you don't want them scattering things, and that breaks glasses that are around them. So keichlo litvro mani, not to break anything. And the rams can't go out with this wagon that you make for the fat tail. That would be keichlo lechamtan aliyata. You don't want that tail to be all bruised up. Now, the word chanunot, what does that mean? So Yosef Rav Acha Bar Ula Kabeda Rav Chisda. So once Rav Acha Bar Ula, sitting there, and they're talking together with Rav Chisda, and he says to him, what that means is chanunot, is Misha Asha goes as Imota. You take the first shearing, okay, and then you take this a compress, you put it into olive oil, you put this on the poor sheep's forehead, because after all, this is a traumatic thing, and when you shear it, it gets chilled, and therefore, Kadesh Lo Titztanein, you want to keep it nice and warm. Now, I told you I looked this up on the internet. This is nothing compared to what they actually do have to do for these sheep that get very chilled when you take off their giza. So, but Reb Chisda thought that this is ridiculous. I mean, oh my God. I mean, you're treating this sheep as if he's the Gadol Hador. I mean, who's this, Marukva? So Asito Marukva, you turn the sheep into Marukva. Are you crazy? Olive oil, holding it against his head. Compress. I mean, for heaven's sake, send a nurse to Marukva, but not a sheep. Okay, fine. So maybe there was another discussion about this. And that was between Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, who was sitting with Rav Chisda, and they were saying, well, this is when a sheep is about to give birth. So then you take two compresses, right? And you put them in olive oil. You put one on the forehead, one on the womb to keep it warm and comfy. Says Reb Nachman, my God, that's even worse. Now you're treating her like my wife. Reb Nachman's wife was Yalta. So now this sheep is Yalta. I mean, come on. There's got to be limits to how far we're going to go to make sheep happy. Ela Amar Rav Huna, I'll explain it to you. The Lashon of Chanun is called because of a certain type of tree. And there's a kind of tree that's called a Chanun, which is B'karchei Hayam. And it's called chanun, and these things are very valuable because they cause sneezing. They have a particular sharp smell. So you bring a little piece of chanun, and they sell these as like toothpick size. You put this on its nose, and that way it keeps sneezing. Why do we want it to keep sneezing? Because that way it does not get infested with parasitic worms. It keeps sneezing them out of its breathing, wherever it is, in its head, getting into its sinuses or getting down towards the lungs. So it keeps sneezing them out, and because of that, the Darnei Rosho won't affect it. So then I don't understand. Why would we only do that to females? It says over there, this is done to the ewes. Why wouldn't you do that for the males? Oh, males, come on. You don't need to do that for males. These guys are constantly batting each other's head. Pow, pow, pow. Believe me, that's enough to get rid of the Daranim. Anyway, given the Menachibadadi, that's the same thing. Now, Shimon Azira says you don't need to import this expensive Chanun tree. You can use Rotem. And a kisma, the ritma, is what you use to make it sneeze. Now, wait a minute, I understand. We've got all of these different pshatim, and only one of them explains the word chanun. And that was Ravuna. Ravuna said this is in the name of a tree, a chanun tree. So you could say chanunot. But I mean, why these other, we have the Ravacha Barula, Ravacha Shimon Azira's pshat, Ravapa Bar Shmuel. They didn't say anything about why it would be called chanun, did we? So my chanunot, no, chanunot is a lashon of rachum vechanun. So you want to do something to your sheep, which shows your love and your care for the sheep. That's the point. So this would be indeed to treat them like Yalta, or treat them like Marukva, but whatever you have to do, you have to be sensitive to how they're feeling. Next thing we said was that you can't take a calf with a gimon. We don't know what a gimon is. Omer Ravuna, a gimon is a bar nira. It's basically a training yoke. What is a training yoke? Well, that's what Shlomo HaMelech referred to when he said, Tov la gever sheyisa ol mina uro. So you have to start putting a yoke on a human when they're young, meaning get them to do some work and not just watch Sesame Street, because then their vision of education will always be Sesame Street. Get the kid to do some serious labor, for God's sake. If not, he's never going to, and he'll spend his whole life like a spoiled brat. So here too, when an eagle was born, so as soon as they were able to walk around, they would put a training yoke so that it would get used to the idea that life is for work, baby, when you're a bull. Omer Reb Eliezer, my mashbadai gimon lushen demekav. What shows you the word gimon is what we would use for bending your neck. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make fun of the Taniyot in Yeshayo. So he says, so what do you think a Tainus means? To bend your neck down and to look very frum, like you really care. I don't give a hang about that. Let's see you do something that's actually useful. So that's exactly what the Agmon would mean over here. Lo para ba'ora kupar, the after the kechlo limtsuyi yale. Those are made so that the yalis don't get you. Now, what is a yali? So Rashi claims a yali is a leech, which is an aluka, which Tosfos says leech. Leech drink blood. They don't drink milk. So why would we put it over the udders? Okay, you know, it's very possible that this is very sensitive skin that is very also engorged with blood. So maybe the yalis would connect to it anyway. But Tosis brings Raya that hedgehogs themselves are called yalis. And they are that's the targum that we find on the hedgehog. And so what it means is you put this sharp skin around it. So it's like it's full of prickles, and that prevents any animal from going and drinking it. Okay, what about the Ritzua Sheben Karnea? A cow can't go out with Ritzua. That was a machlokus we had earlier. According to Rav, that meant Bein Lenoi, Bein Leshamer, it would be Usser. According to Shmuel, it was Lenoi, it's Usser, because he held that wasn't normal. And Leshamer would be Mutter, because that's considered to be a type of Begin. Now, the next thing we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow went out with a ritzua. Now, that is a little bit ridiculous. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow, I mean, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a cow, that would be like saying Gabi's car. I mean, a car? My God, you know, if you got like 50 cars in your backyard, you don't talk about a car. Gabi enjoyed that joke yesterday. So you wouldn't call, I mean, you know how rich Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one cow. You know, Rav, or Rav Yudam Rav says, You know how much the miser of Reb Elazar ben Azariah was every year, which was 10%? 12,000 calves, okay? So that means how many cows did he have every year? Brand new, 120,000 cows a year, you know? What are you talking about, Paratosh or Reb Elazar ben Azariah? So the truth is, obviously, it was meant to indicate to us it really wasn't his. It was a neighbor of his, right? He had this, like, poor almana living alone. What's he going to tell her? That's her whole life is the cow, you know. Mary had a little lamb. Neighbor had a pretty cow. And it had this beautiful braid. So he didn't want to tell her, you're not allowed to go out with a cow on Shabbos, big, mean rabbi. So he didn't say anything, right? But mitok shelo michaba, because he refused to tell her that's usher, the cow became called Reb Elazar ben Azariah's cow because it was all his fault. Rav and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva all say, Bekulei said, by the way, every time we quote that group, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, I just want to let you know, it's a mistake. Because in the entire Seder Moed, where we keep quoting that group of four, you know, it's not the correct group of four. Take out Rabbi Yochanan and put in Rabbi Yonatan, because that was the Chavrusa that was learning Moed together. Anyway, getting back to what they said, is that Kol mi she'efshar limchot anshei beito v'lo micha, if you could stop your kids from being no goodniks, and you don't do anything about it, then it's called your chait, nitvas al anshei beito, you're going to pay for that. If you could have changed the behavior of people in your town, so then nitvas al anshei yiro, if you were capable of changing the behavior of the world, then you're going to be punished for the whole world. Amr of Popo, I'll give you a good example of that. That's that Reish Galuta people. Oh my God. They never, ever assert their moral authority. Everything's okay. And the Avodim get away with murder. Those guys are going to pay for the whole world. Hani de Reish Galusa, nitfosim al kulei alma. And that's why it says, Kedam Rabbi Chanina, my dechtiv Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sarav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come in judgment against the Zekanim. The Zekanim, I mean the Sarim, I understand, those are politicians. So, im Sarim Chatu, the politicians, yes, I understand, but why is Zekanav, I mean, what Sanhedrin is responsible? Yes, al Zekanav means al Zekanim shalom michu b'sarim, that they didn't have the moral courage to protest against authority. Speaking truth to authority.